What's happening? This is the Tap In Podcast. We are live inside the Tap In Studio. I got a special guest in the building, man. I've been knowing this guy probably about 5-6 years. When I first moved to Dallas, we shot a bullshit ass sketch together back in the day. I think that I put it on Vine, I think.
It's been 8 years.
It's been 8 years? Okay, 8 years. You know Marcus.
Yeah.
What's up, boy?
What up, why?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. What's good, man?
Man, chilling, man.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, you too, man.
Good to see you, fam. Straight up.
It's been a while.
Yeah, man. Man, you got so much going on. Like, it's good for me to see you move to LA and you got, I don't know what you did, but you got right on the scene out there. You started making contacts, started making moves. Like, I want to start from how you get started in comedy.
I did my first.
Is this a, hold on, is this, can you turn my, the headphones, you see at the top? Yeah. I want to make sure. Yeah, okay. All right, just want to make sure he good. All right, go ahead.
I used to be on the road. Before I really started doing it, I don't know if you know who Lil J is. You got the crutches, Jesse McDonald.
You got the crutches.
Yeah, he got cerebral palsy. He got had the crutches.
He from out here, right?
No. That's Casey.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He used to go by Lil J, but now he go by his real name, Jesse McDonald. He used to open up for Ricky Smiley and all them.
Okay, I don't know.
he opened up for D-Ray, Ricky Smiley, and a couple people. So I would go, like, he would call me to ride with him, you know what I'm saying? Like, he would do road trips. And, like, I wanted to do comedy, you know what I'm saying? Like I had a passion for it, you know, because I used to be class clown in school and shit. And, man, when I would ride, drive him down there, I met D-Ray, I met Ricky Smiley, and it was like, damn, dog, he handicapped. Like, I kept making excuses to do, not, you know what I'm saying? Like, why I ain't got on stage yet? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this man, he need an assistant to go out. He can't even really go out if he ain't got nobody to help. He got t-shirts. This man had boxes of t-shirts and shit. And you help me with the t-shirts, man. I'm like, man, why? I don't need nobody. Like, I can literally do this by myself. So I was beating myself up about it, man. I told him, man. He said, man, you just got to go on start. I was like, man. At the time, I was driving 18-wheelers. And I was stationed, like, in Atlanta at that moment. And, shit, my homeboy, now I told him, like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. He was like, Lil J was like, shit, I signed you up already for Uptown Comedy Theater.
Really?
Yeah, because we went up there to a show, and then he told him I was coming back.
Was that NARS night or Lil Duval night, or who night was that?
I don't even know if the dude still do comedy. It was a dude, I don't even remember his name. I had the messed up? I had the clip of my first,
your
but
first
somebody
time.
Stole my laptop that I had it. Deal with this little young bro, man. She's just careless, man.
They'll get you every time.
Man. Come on, I wish I had that footage, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to do it. You know what I'm saying? He didn't sign me up. You know, that's a commitment to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, fuck it. I showed up. And when I showed up, they like, you know, checking the sheet, look, sign, shit, like, who is Marcus? Marcus? Shit, that me right here. Yeah. I like, okay, we ain't never seen you, man. Well, how long you been doing comedy? I said, oh, shit, this is my first time right here, man. He's like, they said, what? They started laughing a little bit, you know what I'm saying? They like, nigga, this is your first time, and you coming to Uptown Comedy Club? Nigga, you know they will boo you off the stage in this bitch? I was like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck, I done committed to this shit. That, like, I'm like, I got to do it, though.
Yeah.
And I went over there and got drunk. Boy, I got to drinking good, boy. I'm talking about toe down. Boy, I got my little black ass on that stage, boy. Well, first, now he came up, he introduced me. Damn, I wish I knew dude's name. I ain't seen him in the comedy scene. I wanted, I wish I could run across him.
Okay.
He say, next up coming to the stage, he been doing this for a long time. Boy, he been out here killing this shit, man. Straight out of Atlanta. Y'all get it up for Marcus Smith. I was like, this nigga that f***ed me up like that, man. So I got out there and I addressed that out the way. I was like, first of all, I ain't from no goddamn Atlanta. He's a motherfucker. Like, I'm from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And my name Mark. Nigga, and I was like, y'all repeat it for me. It's Mark. And then I went in talking about like being poor and having to take cold showers and shit. I was just but they were laughing though.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I was hitting that motherfucker because I was real animated. I was extra animated. That's what I perceived comedy as, like being, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Being real physical.
Yeah. So that's what I did a whole little run through that. And then I forgot what else I talked about on them. But man, they clapped.
What year is this?
2015.
June, oh, really?
June 25th.
Really?
Yeah.
So how long was that from when you moved to Dallas?
I moved to Dallas right after.
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't do another set until I think it was October, because I moved to Dallas in like September.
Okay.
Like September, somewhere around there. So I didn't do another set until like October, November-ish. And that's when I started learning. That's when I started hitting that audience to improv. You know what I'm saying? I started hitting the audience to improv, the open mics and shit.
Yeah.
Because I was doing a little, you know, other little spots. Well, no, I think I did the audience to improv first. I think that was one of the first spots I did right here. And then I started just being on the scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Nigga, I could have sworn, like, I could tell that you were kind of new.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking like 2-3 years new. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When I met you at the Arlington Improv.
Yeah. Nah, I was figuring it out, man.
Really?
I just wrote a lot. Wrote a lot, and then I would go work in the mirror. I feel like I grinded way harder then. Like, cause I was really wanted it so bad. I wanted to be like, I wanted content. Like, I wanted to make sure that I had jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? So I wrote every week. I made sure I tried to have me a new, we did 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I have a brand new 4 minutes. And before somebody told me, no, why you keep doing
new jokes
every week? I was like, shit, man, I'm trying to have a lot of cuts. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, man, no, you got to build you a set, man. You got to start off, get you a 4 minute set. I'm like, oh, okay. I got a couple of my liked, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
a couple of my checks. Man, I was trying to find the balance in that. I was like, man, that can't be right, man. I can't just keep doing the same thing, because I know niggas that was doing it and they was bombing with this same set. That nigga was doing 4 minutes. I'm like, man, you gonna keep doing it?
Yeah.
Man, it works sometimes. It was, oh, nigga. y'all niggas crazy. Ain't no way in hell.
Yeah. Okay. And so, how long was you running the scene or being in the scene in Dallas? Because you was here, like, it seemed like I just met you, and probably like a year later, you was gone to LA.
Yeah, I wasn't here 2 years.
Really?
I left in 2017. So I came the end of 2015. I left the beginning of 2017. It seemed like I was there for longer than that. I was out here.
I was out here,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to catch all the mics, trying to be on the scene. But I just made a decision, bro. I was like, man, I'm young in the game. I made the decision because I would watch, you know, the OGs of Dallas, you know what I'm saying? I'm a very observant motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Even if it don't look like I'm paying attention to everything.
Yeah.
And I would hear the complaints of the OGs and the complaints of the up and comers. And the main complaints of the OGs, I noticed a lot of them had their ego was bigger than their career.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they felt like they was above a lot of things that I feel like, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, I gotta make sure I get some money. Like, I ain't. When you've been doing comedy 15 years and you ain't known like that, you ain't got no real name, you shouldn't be above too much. you should have no, like, your standard. I don't understand why your standards this high. I mean, I get it. If you funny, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you need to get your name up so you can get you some money to go with that funny.
Exactly.
Because you out here doing these little $50 shows, and because your pride won't let you do a spot that's gonna get you to a certain point. Like, yo, how you don't understand that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I get why they like that, because if you've been doing something that long, you've been 15 years in the game, you feel like you're funny, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to feel like you should be compensated for that. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be here for that long and then get that attitude, because that attitude started turning into, like, you start being mad at everybody and shit. You start getting, like, feeling like, man, I deserve this. You know what I'm saying? And then it started getting resentment, jealousy, and all this shit. I'm like, nah, I'm going to go to L.A. and, you know, I'm going to gather as much as I can out here, get as much grind as I can. But I'm going to go to L.A. and get exposure while I'm grinding, because I'm in the humble, you know, I'm just starting. So I still got my humility. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I ain't above nothing. I can get out here and do free shows, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like I can do shit, like, because it ain't bothering me. Even though I got paid, my first time getting paid as a headliner was a year and a half in the game. I went to my hometown, Little Rock, because they've been waiting on me to do stand-up.
Really? The hometown? Like,
but they, because I was hustling in the streets, you know what I'm saying? But okay. I was a funny nigga, though, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And in school, I was the class clown.
Yeah.
So they like, nigga, this is what you supposed to be doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a year and a half in the game, I made $900 to headline.
Doing your own show or doing somebody, booked you?
Somebody booked me.
Oh, okay.
Somebody booked me. They paid me $900. I did it at what's the name of that club? It wasn't even a comedy club. It was a venue they rented out.
Mm.
And they knew I was going to get, you know, people going to pop out for me.
Did How much time you do?
Boy, did a rough-ass fought it. I tell you, it was a rough-ass fought it, boy. Hey, I hit him for about 20 minutes, boy. Hey, boy.
Yeah.
I spread it, too, boy. But, boy, ooh, I battled through that bit. I ain't going to lie to you, boy. Hey. Hey, them little foes I was doing every week, boy. Trying to gather them together. Them. I was scraping them bitches. I was like, shit. God damn. Boy, I ran out, man. I had to try some of that material that was bombing on them foes. Nigga, I was like, shit. Okay. Yeah. See, I ain't have my improv game good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, improv game, you got to be. You gotta have some experience in that. Like, you gotta be, you know.
Yeah, know how to jump out there, say something, get back into your
jokes.
I wasn't
comfortable doing that.
Yeah,
I wasn't comfortable doing that. Yeah, shit, I'm a year and a half. Yeah. These motherfuckers that made me headline, nigga, I ain't supposed to be headline. This is definitely an opportunity I done took from another nigga. You know what I'm saying? But shit, niggas believed in me, man. And I had merch. Remember, I had merch. Niggas used to talk about me.
Yeah.
They would throw subliminals at, like, the OGs would throw subliminals at me.
Who was the OGs, though? Because when I got here, the people who I knew, where it looked like they was on the scene, was like Celebrity, Black Ron, Lamar. Those are the people.
Who else? Two of them. You got Hot Topic, D. Ellis.
D. Ellis. I forgot about D.
Andy.
Ellis.
Hey, shout out to all these folks. What's her name? Goddamn, Lisa Love.
Oh, okay.
Cotton. Forgive me if I don't mention you. It was not intentional, I promise.
You wasn't OG then, if you ain't mention you.
Yeah. I mentioned all OG. Yeah. Hey, see, and I think Black Ron wasn't, because they had been in the game a little longer than Black, cause from you know, I was talking to Black Run, he was like a veteran, a little, because he was, you know, he had more time in the game than me,
mm-hmm.
and him and Celebrity, and you know, but I think they was like 5 years in when I started, I believe Black Run then was
okay Okay.
Like this, cause I talked to him. You know what I'm saying? I chopped it up with that. Like, we ain't build no real bond. Like, we started building a little bond when I was start about to move to L.A. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, okay.
Like, that's my nigga there. That's like family. You know what I'm saying?
He coming on next week.
Yeah. So I didn't really, I was, oh, what's his name? God damn it. He always used the tag. Won't he do it?
Piper too.
Yeah. These. I got to a point where, you know, I was hitting and I was grinding a little bit. So they started putting me on show. Q. Yeah.
I forgot about Q. Yeah.
Fonzo.
I don't know Fonzo.
Fonzo Crow.
I don't know Fonzo.
Yeah. So I got to a point where I started getting on the shows. You know, with the, you know, the OGs and shit, man. And Junebug. Can't forget about Junebug. They coming to me as I'm talking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I forgot about Junebug.
Yeah. So you know, and I got, you know, I had a lot of respect. I still got a lot of respect for all of them, man. Like, but I seen where they was. I seen the frustration in them, man. Cause it's like, you know, they doing local shows, and I feel like they vision when a lot of people vision when big enough. And I'm not speaking for everybody, but I, you know, some people that I was just talking to, they goal was to be the MC of the improv. That was the goal. Like, I want to be the MC of Arlington Improv. You know, so when a headliner come,
they grab it.
Call them.
What?
And I'm like, nigga, that.
That ain't your go
at all, nigga. I said, I'm trying to be on TV, nigga. I remember I told the nigga, I was like, man, when you get the MC, will a nigga take you on the road? And somebody told me, they said, hell no, nigga. Like, shit, dog. That's a once in a million chance a nigga take you on the road. I was like, so you just trying to make $50.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. No. You trying to get make $50 is just that's damn near, you damn near doing a bigger open mic, nigga. That ain't.
For real.
That ain't no point. Yeah. So I'm like, man, I can't be, and I hate to say this, like, I can't be around, if everybody around you have a very limited vision, because a lot of them are from Dallas and they wanted to be the king of Dallas comedy, you know, and it's like, I hope people don't take it the wrong way.
Nah,
I ain't shitting on nobody.
No, you ain't shitting nobody,
but a lot of people just vision was just too limited. And I'm like, man, it's more to this, man. You know, I feel like Arkansas, because, you know, like in Arkansas, you know, I had a vision with certain shit, and I'm like, man, these niggas don't see what I see. You know what I mean? And I had to get out of that environment before I started thinking like them. And I feel like that's what it started boiling down to. Cause I'm like, oh man, y'all, like, it was a big thing to do out of town shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, to go out of town and, you know, we ride to Houston and ride to, and I'm like, man, I can't, because, you know, Junebug did Comic View, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had credit, you know what I mean? But like, it's like, damn, my nigga, like, I seen Junebug was grinding. I was with Junebug a lot.
Really?
Junebug was grinding. He was going to, you know, going to different spots and shit.
We shot a sketch at his house one time.
Yeah, but I'm like, damn. I don't want to do it as a job, nigga. Like, this ain't, I ain't trying to just go up and pick $100 up here and 20. That ain't how I want it, my nigga.
Yeah.
No, they gonna put me with the headliners. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, but in order for that to happen, man, cause a nigga told me I had to conquer Dallas first.
Yeah, that's bad advice.
Yeah, he was like, man, he like, man, L.A. comics, it's a million L.A. comics, man. L.A. comics, dime a dozen, man. You got to conquer the city you in first. He said, you're doing good here. You got to conquer the city you in first and then move to LA. He said, LA got to call you.
Nah, I don't know who told you that, but that's bad advice. Here's one thing I would say, though. Mm-hmm. I would say in order, and this is just me knowing LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say be comfortable doing the road and then go to LA. One, because if you start making those relationships on the road, you can always go get some money and then go back to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got your road shit set up, LA is going to be easy. Because you on weekends, it's like a desert out in LA, at least when I was there. Because all the comics that was there was all doing road gigs.
Right.
And during the week, LA was popping with all the comics. You'll see everybody popping in. But on the weekends, everybody would leave and go do their weekend shows.
Yeah.
So I would say if I would give advice, a comic, get out of your city. You don't necessarily have to go to LA, but if you can get on the road and like start meeting promoters or meeting different people in different cities where you start establish a relationship with people so you can go and get $50 here, $100 there, and as you grow, keep growing, and then go to LA, that would be my advice.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, when you get to LA, you ain't got to be out there starving and you working the odd job. And
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's my advice, but you don't got to conquer your city and be the man.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, and the thing is sometimes we put our doubts on other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people was comparing me to themselves, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they made it seem a little part of themselves in me. But I didn't have, to me, this is, I came from Arkansas, you know. I always been a hustler. I always, even when I took L's, I bounced back. My bounce back game, crazy.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, through anything that you do, you're going to have to take your L's in the beginning to get your W's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would rather fail, like, because I ain't got nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got no kids, no wife. It's just me. I can go out there and take them bullets. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can go out there. But I was like, man, I got to experience this now. Before I start growing this like bitterness, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been doing this shit and I don't feel like I'm getting nowhere with it. You know what I'm saying? Or it's not moving fast enough for me. So I'm like, man, and I know how to talk to people. I'm a people person. You know what I'm saying? I know how to get out there and mix and mingle, man. So I'm gonna go out there and explore and see what's happening and check out the scene and I'm gonna figure it out from there. And so I just got up. I was like, man, let's do it. So I did the Hope Flood, the convention.
Mm.
Yeah, I got robbed. I went up there and paid that little money, man. And, you know, I won the little contest, man, and everything. I'm like, I come in the game like this. You know what I'm saying? Because I got to see him comics, you know what I'm saying, that I seen on Comic View and you know, Def Comedy Jam, all this. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in awe, nigga. Because, you know, when you go to L.A., nigga, you start seeing motherfuckers that you seen on TV. I'm a country-ass nigga, you know, I ain't. This shit is crazy to me. I'm like, oh, nigga, you was on Comic View. Nigga, I'm excited. You know what I mean? And I won a little contest. They're like, yeah, you going to get a road date with Lunell. For winning, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, bet. Now, I did the contest at Jonathan Brown.
The J-Spot.
Yeah. I did the contest at the J-Spot. Tiffany Haddish hosted. This was right before
Girls Trip.
It was right before Girls Trip. And I didn't know who she was. You know, this is when she was on the Carmichael Show at the time. And, you know, just as she The it was rough. The whole night, it was rough. I was like number 5 or 6. I'm like, oh shit, these niggas bombing. I'm like, fuck, boy, they ain't even listening no more. These folks done dialed out. And so I'm like, man, I'm just finna go up there. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. And I tested something off the top because I always test a joke before I start.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To see what kind of crowd I'm gonna have. I always do some shit that, you know, I either try to play on the city or I, you know, like I, at this time I had a black and a white shoe on. Like the same shoes. It was like one black white Jordan 1, one white Jordan 1. I said, man, if this shirt shit worked, nigga, shit.
You in there,
I'm
huh?
in there. And these niggas. But hey, so I go on stage. I'm like, I know y'all looking at me crazy. Well, let me go and address the elephant in the room. I know y'all like, well, why this fool got one white shoe and one black shoe on? I wore this here for, this is symbolism. To let you know, man, you know, I don't discriminate, man. It don't matter to me whether you white or you black. I still kick your goddamn ass. I said, oh, boy, they start laughing from there. I said, oh, you niggas was just sorry, nigga. Hey, nigga. And from then on, nigga, I was pop, pop, pop. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And man, it wasn't nobody to compare. Like, it was easy. Like, it was like obvious.
Right,
obvious
you
winner,
won.
You know what I'm saying? And
did you ever get your Lunel date?
I got a Lunel date.
Okay.
I featured for Lunel at the J Spot. I said, these motherfuckers, they had to keep calling for that damn. I said, man, what kind of shit is that? They brought me back to the same goddamn spot. I had to call and get the money. They wasn't even finna give me no money. I had to bug the shit out of Hope Flood. I said, boy, shit, but y'all paid you already. You just give me my money back.
They hustling too, man.
I'm like, damn, man. They schemed on the nigga good, boy. But what is, you know, they just had a few people that came in there, so they kind of, I don't know if anybody really remembered me from there after because I moved there. Then at that weekend, you know what I'm saying? Cause I don't know if anybody remember me. A few people did that was there. You know what I'm saying? Cause they be always bring it up when I talk to them. Like, boy, I remember that night you came, boy. You told that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but like after that, I just started coming up on the scene. I found out about D-Rays Monday night. Found out about Chocolate Sunday. I was like, oh nigga, this is crazy. Then I seen come out there. I seen Corey, you know, those were my favorite comics right there. I seen
really?
Corey. I seen Corey out there, I D-Rays. I was like, nigga, I walked out, I said, what the fuck? Nigga, that Corey, how come doing out here? That nigga must be lost.
Yeah.
Then, boy, they got the bag in our side, nigga. They got the roasting outside.
They always do.
Oh, man, I came out there that first couple weeks because I found out, like, you know, I was like, oh, this every Monday thing? Came out there first time, watched them roast and shit. I'm like, oh shit, nigga, this shit dope. Nigga, because I'm seeing niggas that I see on, you know what I'm saying? These niggas get going against.
Listen,
you.
The LA is the NBA of comics, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. That's what NBA was like. Comics, oh shit, this look at. It's got, you know, Booker Pong, Craig, all them, everybody out there, motherfucker. Everybody out there, motherfucker, getting down. And I'm like, this shit is wild. These niggas is superstars. This is out here talking that shit, roasting each other. I'm like, man, I'm about this every Monday. I ain't missing a Monday. Nigga, I'm about the third week. I think it's about third week I came out there. And, I'm like, they starting getting everybody now. Like, they starting to, boom. I'm like, oh, shit, it's going to come to me. I said, I got to be prepared, boy. I got to, because Corey look fat, big fat ass.
Yeah.
Everybody get it. Everybody get it. We ain't going to miss nobody.
That old ass shirt.
You get that. Oh, this pussy ass nigga right here. And nigga, they got to me. Booker Pong hit me first. Because I think Corey was like, who is this nigga right here? And then Booker Pong hit me. And I already had jokes to, You know what I'm saying? I had
lined up for everybody.
I had like two of them for each. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, you know what I mean? I was over there gathering, nigga.
Yeah.
One nigga Book Pong said something. I lit him. Pow! I said, oh, shit. That nigga, that funny, boy. Like, and man, it went from there, man. We battled. And then that was my routine every week, man. It was just kind of build a rapport with everybody, man. It just became like family, man. I just built a family with everybody. Man, it was genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It was genuine. And then, you know, we talked outside. And we all, you know, started changing numbers and shit, man. I just was chopping it up, with the people that you know, and shit. I found out I didn't even know about 5150 before then. I found out because Black Run came one week. I think that's when I found out Black Run came one week. He was like, "Cole, you got to put me on your show, man." I was like, "What show?" You know what I'm saying? I'm like, "What you talking about?" Like the 5150 podcast and shit, man. I was like, oh, Cole, I didn't know you. Because at this point, I didn't kind of
kick
it
with him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, nigga, you got a show, nigga, this whole time. I ain't gonna get a show, nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, what you doing there? And, you know, I was like, man, I'd love to come check it out or whatever. He's like, man, I can't have guests on my show like that, man. I with my nigga, but I can't just be inviting them. I said, oh, no, man, I ain't trying to be no guest. I said, I just want to check it out, man. I just want to, you know, be there and witness.
Yeah.
Oh, you come with me, man. You come to the show. You know, you can come watch and shit, but I can't put you on the panel.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about that shit. And, man, you know, I would come watch that shit, man. And I would show up on time, every time, you know what I mean? And I think one time he had a actual, you know, show that he was on with, I think Chris Spencer was doing. And that nigga, I was like, man, hey, Cole, I see you going to be doing a show up there at Savoy.
Mm.
He was like, yeah. I said, man, I'm gonna pull up, man, for this, man. You going to pull up? Bet, I'm going to put you on the list, nigga, I'm going to put you on the list. I was like, oh shit, nigga, I was finna pay, nigga, bet. Nigga, I got, look, hey, nigga, I came in there, I'm VIP and shit. That nigga Cole got the bottom. I'm like, oh shit, nigga. Oh, I'm with the big dogs, nigga. Oh, I'm with the big dogs, nigga. Hey, you could tell me shit.
At the Savoy. This nigga with the big dogs.
Cause it was everybody that be, I think it was like.
Was it Chris' birthday party or something?
Well, he was doing Wednesday nights.
Oh, okay.
And I think a couple people, I think it was that night, it was like Michael Blackson or Bill Bellamy or some other. Oh, okay. I was in the section with, I'm like, oh, nigga, this crazy. Nigga. I'm with the big dogs, nigga. Oh, nigga. I'm the little puppy with the big dogs, nigga. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I would come into the 5150, and then one day, I guess nigga didn't show up, just him and Darlene. He called me earlier that day. He don't never call me, asked me if I was coming.
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, you come to the show today? I said, yeah. He said, what time you gonna get? I was like, shit, I'm gonna get there by 8. All right. He just said, ask me, was I coming? I'm like, that's weird. That nigga ain't never asked me if I'm coming.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, he must got a lot of people in there or something. You know what I'm saying? When I came in that motherfucker, I walked in, he said, yeah, my little nigga, come on over here, little nigga. This my little nigga right here, little country ass nigga right here, Mark. And man, that was the first time nigga seen me on 5150, man. And I wasn't going on regular because I was always laughing in the background. That's like, Nigga be like, who that loud ass laughing? Nigga laughing loud as in the background.
Yeah,
that would be.
Yeah.
And then after I would, here and there, I would come on as a spot. And then he started during the pandemic. Industry Repo Show. That's what we called it.
What?
Industry Repo Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was the co-host of the Industry Repo Show. It was like because we weren't doing comedy. He wasn't doing comedy shows at the time, so he was doing it on Fridays.
Mm.
Because of the, you know, like I said, the pandemic shit. And so So he would do like a late night, kind of like a late night talk show type shit. And I was like the little silly mother over there, kind of like coming really. He'd do songs and I'd be in the background dancing. I'd do me a little verse and shit. Like, you can still pull up clips of songs we did.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy. And so, man, niggas just start with me, man. And
here's what I want to ask you, man. Speaking of 5150 show, because I don't know how recent it was, but I seen when Corey said something about Dave Chappelle, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He was saying Dave be bombing like a mug on the shows that he do in L.A.
Yeah.
Do you think Dave Chappelle be bombing?
It all depends. Like, it's not, he's not, I feel like he be going out. You know how you go and work on a set?
Yeah.
I feel like he go out and he don't even prepare to work on the set. I feel like he just like, I'm finna go out here and talk and I'll find a joke in conversation. You know, like if we have a conversation, we might not even be intending to write
something funny
pop up, then we like, oh, let me put that down. And I feel like he does that with audiences. Like, he'll just go up there just like, oh, I'm just gonna talk and you know, I'll put something together. You know what I'm saying? Like, his mind works.
And I'm thinking, if to see Dave Chappelle, I don't know how much it costs, but mm-hmm. it's at least $100 to go see him perform a set. These motherfuckers who got in for $20 at the Improv, Dave ain't getting from that.
Right.
Like, I'm not finna give y'all my best. I'm not finna really put forth no effort to perform on a Monday or a Sunday
y'all. You get paid for.
You know what I'm saying?
It's about a nigga that get paid, nigga. I think it's millions. Be up like $1,000 a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Some spots. So, nigga, yeah, it makes sense that he would go in here and bull in spots that he ain't getting paid in. It makes sense to me. You know, Corey's big on being funny. That's his thing. Corey, like, nigga, you gonna get on that stage, nigga. You need to be funny. He don't care nothing about your message. He don't care what you nigga, if you ain't funny, I don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, comedy is turning into, like, people don't want it to be. They want substance now. Like, mm-hmm. they don't want it to be just about, oh, you just coming on stage. But you got your audiences for everything, too, though. You still got audiences that just want to come out here and just hear you talk about whatever, nigga. Like, you know, whether we talking about dick pussy, relationships, whatever. You got them audiences for that, but then you got some people that they want to hear some shit that's moving. You know what I'm saying? They want to hear some shit because I feel like Dave is on some Dick Gregory type shit. Like he's more but not in that manner though. He's more like a.
Listen, I've been at comedy shows. Dave did 6 hours on stage.
At one time?
At one time.
This nigga was just talking to y'all.
He would tell long-ass stories.
Yes.
And sometimes they'll end with a joke, and sometimes he just talking. At the Laugh Factory one Sunday, nigga, we sat in that mug, I think the 10 o'clock show. We didn't get out to like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Of him just talking to the audience. And it was like... And I think it was 2 times that he did it. And if you ask around in L.A., you like, was you here when Dave did all that time at the Laugh Factory? It was one time where I had to just leave because I think he did it twice. This is when he had moved to Africa around that time, and he was just popping up at different places doing shows. Mm-hmm. This nigga did like 6 hours on stage at the Laugh Factory one time.
That's insane.
Yeah, and I'm just like, all of that wasn't jokes, but some of that he was just – getting some shit off his chest, you know what I mean? And people was still in there listening. Like, and he was...
Because they care about what he got to say.
Sometimes he got some deep stuff that he want to say.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
That's what people don't understand, man. Everything is subjective, man. You don't know what... Some people are coming for different reasons. Some people are coming to comedy shows. You know, they looking for... they looking for something that's gonna touch them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like they being relatable is damn near topping being funny right now. You know what I'm saying? Like something that audience can relate to. Like if it's profound, something profound, like that's what they look. That's because they used to date saying something profound, so they're like, oh, I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting on them. What's the message? What you got? Because it's moving. Like, you know, you can compare another comic. I ain't gonna say no name. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Just another comic might come out there and talk about, oh man, you know, bitch farted on me, man, and they laughed their ass off and shit, man. But some crowd like, I don't want to hear this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And here's my personal opinion. I think Corey is funny as right? Mm-hmm. But I think Corey is relationship. All his jokes are relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's his angle, right? Yeah. Dave Chappelle don't do a lot of relationship jokes. He do, like, either topic stuff or personal stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's topical or he do... And that's... this the. He basically do a lot of LGBT content now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And which is, but it's like he's become more of a
activist?
Yeah, an activist in a sense.
But he just got a deeper message.
Cause he's comparing black strokes. It's like he's trying to convey something like, you know, comparing black struggle to the community struggle or whatever, man, and he's making valid points with it. So people want to hear that because it can actually move something. Mm-hmm. Because when he says things, that shit, motherfucker, it like when he did the sticks and stones, you see how much shit, man, them were mad as hell, man. But it was moving people. Mm-hmm. It made people talk about the shit, man. And they actually start like chicken. You know, when that nigga say something, he can actually change the world in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
his voice is powerful.
Because he gives a perspective that other people aren't giving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that and is needed because he has a way of saying it that is like, okay, oh, I didn't think about it that way.
And Dave always been like that.
Yeah.
You remember his joke that he did about the man dressing up in a police uniform? You remember that joke that he did? It was on his Killing Me Softly special. So the joke that he did is women, he hate when women say that they
I know
when they dress in scantily clothes, just because I'm just like this, I'm not a hoe. You know what I'm saying? He was like, oh, I'm dressed up in this police uniform. So that joke, he's always been like that to give you, tell a joke, but make it where you can understand the joke from either perspective, whether you're a woman and you understand it, mm-hmm. and you coming from a man and you understand it. And the same thing with that he's doing with the LGBTQ community, painting a picture so they can understand it.
Yeah.
And to paint it like, hey, this is what regular folks is going through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's his perspective, and that's his style of jokes. I wouldn't compare a Dave to a Tony Roberts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Tony
is a goddamn.
Tony of a machine gun.
Yeah, hey, boy, I'm telling you, like one of my homeboys told me, boy, you go to a Tony Roberts show, they laugh your ass off. But you don't remember shit he said. You don't know no story.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he just hit your ass with jabs the whole time. Pow, 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 pow. You remember that one joke, nigga? Nah, no. Nigga, that nigga had, nigga was punching your ass the whole goddamn, that nigga got a set full of punchlines, nigga.
I'm with Corey, man, but I just hate to see, because I love to watch the show just to see who all different people come on there, from Craig to who else is on there now. Because a nigga be changing seats.
Used to be Zoe. Used to be Nate.
Nate Jackson. Yeah, Nate came on there. I think a couple of times.
Grady.
That hurt my heart when him and Grady fell out.
Yeah,
that hurt my heart. But to me, it seemed like Corey is obsessed with gay people, and I that's what it seemed like from my vantage point. And I'm like,
hey, listen,
why he so obsessed with? Listen, everybody in LA ain't gay.
Yeah,
everybody in entertainment ain't gay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'd be like, what is his obsession with trying to figure out who gay, who not? Like, why Corey give?
I don't know. I can't answer that for you.
I'd be like, Corey, goddamn.
Corey, he is very big on exposing.
Why though?
I don't know. That's a personal thing. I don't know. I can't explain that. I don't give a fuck what a nigga do.
That's what I'm saying. As long as
that nigga ain't, and I think he be saying like, you know, the undercover niggas, the DL niggas. And I guess you can see it from a perspective of you niggas coming in and y'all is infecting the community. You know what I'm saying? Y'all coming in and polluting our community with the you know what I'm saying? And I'm guessing that's the perspective he's seeing. Like, oh, let me expose these niggas so these niggas don't be, you know what I mean? So these hoes know that this you know, that's how he said these niggas, you know what I mean? Out here, you know what I mean? So I guess that's the only way I can see it, like, you know, to unveil the closet door.
Listen. I don't doubt that people in LA is gay. Like, it's a whole Santa Monica area, West LA area of nothing but gay community. But my thing is, if he was so like, oh, I hate these motherfuckers, oh, these DL niggas, like, I would get out of LA. I would move. Like, I wouldn't even be in LA. That's not to say that people in LA, especially like execs and people behind the scenes, like I got offered when they was doing Hell Date. Mm-hmm. I got offered to play a gay person on Hell Date. They was like, Dante, we love you. We want you to do African and a gay character for one of the dates. And I was like, I do the African. I can't do the gay. He was like, no, I'm telling you, it's going to be funny. I was just like, nah, I ain't going to fuck with it. And they was like, all right, cool. They didn't let me do nothing. I was like, all right, fine. And that's what I think when most people, especially with all these people getting exposed now, is people get an opportunity. They put it in front of you. They ask you, hey, you want to do this? And a lot of people be so thirsty to get on that they'll do it. Mm-hmm. And then they be ashamed of their own decisions down the line. You know what I mean?
They compromise themselves.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? And that's why that's the part I don't understand. If you're not going to be comfortable with that decision, then yes, you gave up your manhood for nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I like at the end of the day, man, I want to have a body of work that I'm proud of.
Exactly.
Like it's. I remember it was one cat. I think it's DeAndre Bunz. He did that scene on Lockdown when he had them white boys raped him in prison.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they was like the white boys was like that was what's the racist white boys in prison?
The Aryan Brothers.
The Aryan Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they basically was raping him and that nigga in there. And man, he was on Snowfall. Stacy from
that's
Boys
him?
In the Hood. Yeah,
really.
I mean, the Boys in the Hood.
Black Mafia.
The Wood.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Stacy from the Wood.
The big tall, no, Stacey. Dark skin.
Stacy from the Wood. Hey, nigga, don't say my name.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
The young one, right?
No,
he was the older.
He was the big brother. A big brother. Okay. Of the
with
sister.
The jerry curl.
Yeah.
That was on Snowfall.
Yeah, yeah, he was on Snowfall. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was, man, if you go watch one of the interviews he did, man, he said he went through so much, him up mentally from doing that scene. You know, because nigga, that's on That's on everybody. Anybody can go back and watch this movie, and you letting a man you get. They had it where you portraying like he was getting his, he was sucking his, you know, his the white man.
Really?
A racist? That nigga, that's the lowest of the low. That to put you on the camera doing that.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you would even agree to that, and you know what I'm saying? But he was so thirsty for, you
for
know,
fame.
For fame, for opportunity. And then that movie ain't do shit. That's the hurt. That's the... Ooh, that gotta hurt. That gotta be two bullets to the chest, nigga. Oh my. Ooh, you.
And that's why people be mad. That's why people regret their decision after they say, "Yeah, hey, I do it," because it don't give them opportunity.
And then I think that's why Cole be like, "Y'all niggas sellouts." You know what I'm saying? Because it's like y'all sold yourself short, and y'all know y'all not proud of
doing it. But here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing when Corey say that, I feel like that's hypocritical, because Corey didn't did some sellout shit too. I don't know exactly, but I know he told a story of when I was the podcast I was watching y'all did about him putting on the Santa suit. You know what I mean? And that's just one instance, but I'm just saying.
Is that sellout though, putting the Santa suit on?
Feel like it is. I don't feel like it is.
Yeah, but so I'm saying that, but
if he say, nigga, I did this bullshit and ain't nothing come from it, now I'm bad.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, you the one saying I do it. But I don't think that's sellout if you say,
that ain't that deep. You just put a fucking Santa Claus uniform on. But
for me either. I
don't think he think it's that deep neither. I think he just was throwing that out there just to say, you know.
Just something that was had.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit, you got, I did some shit. You know, because sometimes scores, they just be like, nigga, that ain't that bad. You just try to say, oh.
But here's my thing. I think with Corey, I mean, I hate to be even speaking on him while he's not even here, but my thing is, I think Corey is upset at Hollywood, but Hollywood is like a high school. It's built off friendships and relationships. That's all Hollywood. If you got the talent, all you need to do is make the friendships. And I think with Corey, I don't know what happened, but him and his friendships just fell out. Just all over Hollywood. I don't know what for or why. Because Corey is a good dude, you know what I mean? Like, I fuck with Corey. But I don't know where, at what point, and people just stop messing with him. You know what I'm saying? Or where he said something or where it was an issue. And maybe, I don't know, because Corey usually, every time I used to see him out in L.A., it would be in front of the Improv or in front of the Laugh Factory, him always joking and laughing and, you know what I mean, talking shit. And I just thought, okay, Corey just funny, you know what I mean? He just like talking shit. He'll never go into the Improv unless he got to go on stage. He's being there talking shit, you know what I mean? Don't mean no harm by it, but I don't know. I think a lot of people have fallen into that. Even one of my boys, when I moved to L.A., dude, you know Donovan? Mm-hmm. Donovan Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing with him. Like, for whatever reason, Donovan was supposed to, like, blow. Like, Donovan was supposed to blow. But I think it's all based off of friendships and relationships. That's what I think Hollywood is. And if you don't have those, how talented you are. They're going to blackbar you or they ain't gonna give you nothing.
Donovan got pretty good relationships though out there. I mean, a lot of people fuck Donovan.
So okay.
I don't know if you got more inside information than I don't know about that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Donovan was supposed to, listen, when Hell Day first popped, you know how big Hell Day was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hell Day was on 5 days a week, 2 and 3 times a day, something like that, right? Donovan was on there. Donovan, I don't even know if I told this story in public before. I got the audition for Hell Day, right? And Donovan was staying with me at the time. And I was like, yo, come with me to this audition. And we both went to the audition. He signed up. He ended up getting it. And I was like, bet, that's what's up. They just wanted me for those two roles, the African and the gay one. I was like, nah, I don't want to do the gay one. Donovan started filming. They started loving, you know, the reactions that they was getting. And then they put him on full time. And then that's when he called me. He was like, nigga, do you know this show going to be on 5 days, like every single day? I was like 106 in Park. And I was like, oh, nigga, you finna be out of here. That's finna be big. And how it happens is when you start getting exposure, you start getting those relationships, people start seeing you, those execs and those people are the ones that give you opportunities to do other things. Uh-huh. And I think at that time, I think Donovan kind of got big headed, you know what I mean? And his newfound
fame.
Yeah, newfound fame. And I think that's where it kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And those relationships kind of, comics off with Donovan, you know what I mean? Comics off with him. But I think some of the execs, because even some people that I know that like behind the scenes, that was like, yeah, that nigga was just too arrogant. He just thought his shit didn't stink and blah, blah, blah. Because me and Donovan, when we moved to LA, it was, when you seen me, you seen Donovan. Mm-hmm. You seen Donovan, you seen me.
Donovan Dante.
That's right. Nigga, we did a pilot show. We was called the Double D's. We were on the Double D's. But it was for CBS. We did a pilot show. It was supposed to be like a game show. We did that shit and it killed. Like, I don't know why they never picked it up, but the show killed. But I think Donovan should have been way bigger than what he is now. Because Donovan is funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Donovan is funny. I just think it's the relationships that fucked him over, where he couldn't start doing other things and being on TV more often. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I think that happened with Donovan. And I...
Well, I wasn't nervous at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can't really, speak on... But that was a hell day. Well, that was about 30 years ago?
That
was about 20 years ago, wasn't it?
2008, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it was, just think about how much time from hell date to now. And if Donovan was on every episode.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I see Donovan all the time.
That's my boy.
Yes, I'm he go up, do spots, and I think he be going on the road sometimes, like D-Ray, I don't know. I ain't never had these type of conversations with him, so I wouldn't know what, you know.
Yeah, and this is information you probably would never know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You probably, because you wasn't in L.A. at that time, you know what I mean? You probably don't know. But, yeah. I want to ask you this. Speaking of going on the road, what happened between you and Ryan? Did y'all fall out? Ryan Davis?
No, me and Ryan straight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I called him the other day. His birthday was yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so, okay.
Yeah, I called him, hollered at him, man. We all know it's my guy, man.
Okay, yeah. I had him on not too long ago.
Yeah.
Ryan a good dude, man.
Yeah, man. He's a good dude. Like a brother, man. No matter what, man. Like, because, you know, we had a little situation happen, man, but at the end of the day, I never changed who I was, so, you know what I mean? So, it's...
What was the situation?
Oh, it's just the situation, you know, when him and Corey had that back and forth, and shit, I was damn near in the middle. Well, I was in the middle of shit. So, you know, we got it squared away, though. They squared it out.
They cool?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up, man. I need to text him after this. I didn't know his birthday was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm gonna hit him, man. I'm gonna hit him. Anything else you wanna? I know you just did Hyenas here in Dallas.
Yeah.
What other shows you got coming up where people could come see you, man?
Next month I got February 22nd. I'm at Tommy T's.
Okay. In Cordova?
No. That's in Pleasanton.
Pleasanton. Okay. Yeah. Where's Cordova? That must be. No, that's Memphis. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's in, Bay Area. California. I got the DC Comedy Law February 25th. I got Tacoma, Nate's Super Funny Comedy Club, was March 21st.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll be putting some more together. I'm going to be back down here at the Hyenas Fort Worth. We're going to figure out the date sometime this week. And I'm gonna be adding dates, man. Like, I did a whole tour last year, man. Started my first tour last year. Put some South in Your Mouth tour, you know what
okay
I mean?
Okay.
I've been doing, I'll be 9 years doing comedy
God
in June, man. And it was it was a moment, man, to be able to get that many dates. It was over 25 dates. On my first year headlining, man, they gave me, over 25 cities, man. And it was just like, they was giving me, they was allowing me to go out there and you know, I did my door deals and man, shit just worked out, man. I built these connections with these clubs and shit, man. I took a leap of faith, man, just to see what's gonna happen, man.
Relationships, man.
Yeah.
Relationships.
And telling you. And shit, man, I came out there and proved myself. So now I can tour regularly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can tour regularly. I can at least do one-nighters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm doing one-nighters still, but you know, some spots I do, you know, multiple days. But right now, you know, I'm segueing into, you know, becoming one of them guys, man.
That's what's up, man.
It's working out.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I remember when you were talking about going to LA, and I always like, he gonna be all right. One, because you just personable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, he gonna be all right in LA.
Yeah.
Because you got the personality, you know what I mean? And you naturally funny. I was like, yeah, he gonna be all right in L.A.
Yeah, man. That's what nigga wants. Regardless, I can deal with L's. I can deal with fails. Because I'm gonna learn something from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, L is a lesson for me. Mm. You know what I mean? So I knew regardless, when I go down there, if shit don't work out, I'm gonna figure it out.
I'm a
solution oriented nigga. I'm gonna figure this shit out. So one way or other, I'm gonna figure this shit out. That wasn't my concern, man. I came out there, I was doing Uber and shit my first couple years, and then I ain't had to do it no more. You know, I get paid on the internet and the shows now. Shit,
so, that's dope, man.
Yeah,
that's dope, man. Man, leave your your Instagram handle, your social media, where people can follow you, all that good shit, man.
And you can follow me on Instagram at You Know Marcus. It's YOUKNOWMAAACUS. I'm really on all platforms with You Know Marcus. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. YOUKNOWMAAACUS. You Know Marcus.
Yeah. You Know Marcus. Appreciate you for tapping in, bro, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Yo, man, this has been the Tap In Podcast. Thank y'all for tapping in. Holla.